Peace, love, and light, everyone. Welcome back to the Universal Love Movement podcast series. This is your host, Dr. Carl S. Moore. And if you've stumbled across this episode, you're probably wondering what it's about. I really appreciate you joining me. Today, I'm going to tell you about Accessing Ability, the special series that we have for you, and give you a peek into the episodes ahead. This is part one of a three-part kickoff series that, at first, it took place on live on LinkedIn audio events, and then we shifted. There was an opportunity to shift and just kind of record some of these outside of those realms. But no worries, the full series is available on all major podcasting platforms, along with the newsletter that summarizes the content. And these are really great preludes to the book on Accessing Ability, which you all will be able to get early in 2024. So this episode is about what lies ahead. So my vision is very clear. I view everyone as having different abilities, and understand that each brain is unique as a thumbprint, you know, adaptable and influenced by its environment. It is in these episodes ahead that we're going to journey into the nuances of understanding and celebrating these abilities, even beyond just the brain, but, you know, abilities beyond this, these kind of fixed notions. It may be physical abilities, but it may be more so abilities of self and energy, right? So I really think that the essence of it is that we can have a really amazing opportunity to redefine how we perceive people's abilities, right? And your own ability. It's not about labeling or limiting, it's about new lenses, right? So I'm going to repeat that. No labeling or limiting, new lenses. The goal is to give us new lenses, or invite folks to try these lenses on, or try these lenses on for size, rather, in order to understand, adapt, and most importantly, appreciate others, appreciate themselves, right? The Universal Love Movement is about loving yourself enough to love all those around you. And me, when I'm in the soul seat of my purpose with my life's work, it's really about growing people's ability to value themselves and see the value in others, right? So this perspective happens to align with the progressive views and research on neurodiversity, recognizing that everyone is on a spectrum of abilities, right? It's a departure from these traditional reviews, you know, that advantage some and disadvantage others. And it's a crucial step towards a society where there is a space and place for a wider range of varied individuals, right? When we understand intelligence and capability in this way. So I'm Dr. Carl S. Moore. I'm a lover of humanity, most importantly, and I don't like the titles and because those are labels, right? Limiting. But I'll give you a few areas of. I'm a learning scientist, future-focused strategist, digital technology aficionado, because as I said, I was thinking of that word, and an artist, you know, just really a lover for progressive spaces that, you know, allow for us to be innovative through the curiosity and problem solving and creativity that mixes together to give the world amazing things. So my educational journey began with my undergraduate degree in electronic media from Kutztown University. I progressed through a graduate degree and educational policy and leadership from The Ohio State University, and then an additional graduate degree in urban education along with a PhD in from Temple University, both in urban education. So, you know, along these years, I've been kind of really refining and honing my views of people's capacities, etc. And in terms of my research using universal design for learning for my dissertation, really looking at the nuances of like learning science and variation and difference, how people just are different, and the difference is a special, you know, there are some special ingredients that we don't always account for, and having those proactive approaches, right, you know, to this. So professionally, I've done various hats, from admissions counselor, hall, you know, assistant hall director, you know, I've been an advisor, and, you know, a student success coach, student affairs, you know, specialist in different areas for admissions, instructional designer, a chair, you know, worked as a I was an intern provost. I was a provost in two different types of institutions. I worked at HBCUs, community colleges, large research one institutions, etc. And I provide all that just to inform you that these experiences that have really helped kind of calibrate my lens and continue confirm some of what I've always felt deep down inside, you know, about people's abilities and capacities. So why has it taken me so long to do this, or why am I doing this now? So the inception of the Universal Love Movement podcast, which I believe, and I should know this by heart, started in 2019, and that was a journey of introspection and intent. And this goes back years ago, because it was a leisure pursuit. It was something that I was thinking, okay, these are streams of consciousness that I have around these certain topics, and I want to add a love lens and an opportunity for folks to have something to listen to that were more about the growth narratives and add to this that part of the energy out there versus, you know, some of the other, you know, kind of more deficit based and, you know, some of the other energy of content that's out there. But it was my inclination most recently to say, you know what, I want to have more structured dialogues around salient topics in my professional room. And that's what you're getting with this accessing ability. I have another one with a colleague on leading through unconditional love. You also hear one on humanizing leadership. So the inspiration for this podcast and was my writing of this book. And it stems from a wide range of conversations on the topic with experts in the field and colleagues. So some of the guests on the show in this series have actually really been instrumental in shaping my perspective over time, or at least helping me realize that, hey, you're not crazy. That's actually, you know, and helping me build and learn. So there are some key moments in my life that actually have led to this. So I've had, there have been countless individuals that I've seen over time. I'm like, wow, this person is amazing. But I knew that they were not perceiving themselves as amazing. So the context and environment wasn't. I've even seen, you know, we all know, we see brilliant minds of people who haven't really done well in school, but are billionaires or millionaires now, right? Who they may not have barely been nurtured by that conventional space. And although those sometimes are anomalies, it's no doubt that there are many individuals like that, that their unique genius has reshaped our world. So with technology as an ally, and with a sense of knowing one's own amazingness as an ally, this work helps to aim more folks find that, regardless of who they are and how they think of themselves. So from the learning enthusiasts to high achievers, recognizing to harness like these abilities that they may consider as, you know, not necessarily as useful now. So I'm hoping that's what this work will be able to do. I do recognize that, you know, there are exceptional cases when people are, you know, taking the world by storm, but I don't subscribe to the fact that it's only those special individuals that can do it. I think everyone's special, and our limit is our perception of ourselves and others' limiting perspectives of you sometimes are ones in which we have to make sure that we are doing the good work to give people enhanced perspective, right? So, writing this book on potential and, you know, capabilities sparked my revelation for this, you know, accessing ability. So midway when I was writing it, I said, should this even be a book, or should this be like an ongoing series of conversations? Because you see, books are really great, they're fantastic, but they are just one way of communicating. They give the you know, given this like nature of the topic here, I felt an urgent need to engage in dialogues. I'm like, you know, I want to not just tell, but I want to dialogue and, you know, discuss and have some type of a back and forth. So alongside the kind of book writing process, it's a, you know, I started this this podcast series, the kind of, you know, newsletter blog element, where it's you know, I could have this passion for the topic evolve with the passion for kind of writing and putting it on paper. And it aligns really with my strengths and my brain's thumbprint, you know, in terms of like dialoguing and, you know, the verbal communication and synthesizing thoughts. So it's an exciting medium that I'm thrilled to use in this venture. And accessing ability isn't just a series of discussions. It's a tribute to an ode, right, to a deep rooted tradition, a spoken word, you know, storytelling, dialogue, you know, discussions that have been the foundation and the bedrock of civilizations. So as many of us, you know, as much as it's about like where people know dialogue, it's also about valuing a medium that aligns with this cultural heritage, while at the same time using these conversations as an opportunity to, you know, use my qualitative research muscles, right? Because I'm a qualitative researcher, an opportunity to learn from my colleagues around my ideas and test my hypothesis. Because you can have these great ideas, you're writing a book, and then you're getting, you know, feedback. I've written book chapters and things before. I'm like, wait, let's. And after talking to the folks in the series, I'm like super excited. So I'm like, okay, great. I should have done this like, you know, years ago. So I had a blog, I wrote a blog back in 2020 for the Online Learning Consortium, serving as a faculty for their, I can't think of the name at the moment, is the IELOL, Institute for Emerging Leaders in Online Learning. And I elaborated on the remarkable capabilities technology has, and refer to it like a bionic arm that could extend our physical reach, technology doing the same thing. And that's where the whole accessing ability came from. And I thought, hey, let me use that for the book title here. So, you know, technological tools, and this was before the pandemic that I wrote that. During the pandemic, they have really transformed our daily routines and enhancing the personal organization that people have had and the way we connect, and everyone's using technology a little bit more now, and they redefine how we really are able to do. And I do at the same time have this enhanced awareness around this, what we call the digital divide, right? There are some folks that when we think about technology and this digital divide, it's growing even more and more. There's more haves and have nots. There are more have-nots than there are haves as time moves forward. And there's another concept referred to as digital redlining. And that digital redlining is where you can both have the technology, but, you know, someone can, you know, run circles and do amazing things while the other person may just be able to, like a smartphone. Someone can text people back and forth where the other person can create a whole film, movie, do a whole workday on their phone, right? So there's all this as it relates to ability and accessing abilities in the role of technology. But as it relates to what we're doing here, we want to look at ourselves as capable, because sometimes it's about using technology, sometimes it's not. There's you'll hear about the episodes later, but there is, what can one do and be more capable of doing by spending more time in nature or taking care of oneself? So there's a technological way in which we can access new abilities, but there's an uncounted amount of ways in which it doesn't necessarily involve that. So just know this isn't just about a technology piece, but I use technology as a lot of references, because just like with computers, our innate hardware, our birthright of physical and genetic attributes does set boundaries, right? Just like when we're talking about ability. But it is our software, right? The skills, the knowledge, the behaviors. And with the advent of AI, the tools that we employ act like an ever-evolving, like, you know, software in a computer. So you just think about that, right? You know, we program our computers and they have newer software. And what new software will you have? Can you have? And to think about it like that puts everyone in the seat of being able to be more capable. So this malleability, you know, enables us to adapt, learn, continuously expand our capacities. And in the age of AI, entities like, you know, whether it be Bard or GPT or what any other LLM, large language model or something like that, or AI, the envelope, this pushes the envelope even further, because executing complex tasks with ease is almost like it's getting kind of airy now, because it's here. However, the comparison between an AI and a human abilities, we have to approach this with some nuance, because AI cannot replicate human cognition, but rather it's complement. So how do you learn and know about your abilities so that you can have the tools complementing you, and not just being about the tools, as I mentioned earlier, connecting with oneself, one's human form, whether it be connecting with nature, what have you. So, you know, however, you know, when we look at this, me using computers, right, to help you understand this, the challenges arise when the environment demands tasks beyond our hardware or software, right, or beyond our how we're programmed or our physical capabilities. But instead of deeming this as an individual's like inadequacy, this person is not, because there's a lot of that in society, and I've seen a lot of it, and I have a sensitivity to that, an increased awareness. It's kind of like a spider sense, and I'm like, I want to argue for a shift in perspective. Such challenges of the, you know, environment demanding more than your hardware, your software, or your mind and your capabilities can do is merely a mismatch between the task and that person's individual, their current capacities as an individual. This is a difference, right? This is different thinking. So in some cases, with more targeted training of a person or reprogramming, people can enhance their, you know, their software, right? Or enhance their capabilities. And we know through professional development, through education, et cetera. So that's the thing that we really want to lean into. And we want to realize that some tasks call for skills or tools that are currently outside of a person's purview. And then sometimes it becomes a matter of like time and energy and versus that person being innately amazing or not amazing, right? Because everyone's amazing to me. So, you know, neuroscience offers an inspiring analogy. So much like neuroscientists now appreciate the dynamic and expansive capabilities of the human brain through the lens of neuroplasticity, I view human abilities as similarly like fluid and boundless. We have for long underestimated the real extent of our potential and confining it with preconceived boundaries. Yesterday's, you know, channel a little bit of a, it's an artist, DJ Khaled. Yesterday's boundaries are not today's boundaries, or whoever says that. They're not. You know, we don't have the same boundaries, and it's important for us to all realize that. Such a perspective is even more crucial today, that yesterday's boundaries are not today's boundaries, right? The advancement of AI and technology broadens our understanding of ability. It's no longer confined by physical, socioeconomic conditions. It's so much so, but it hinges on the access to and knowledge of them, and modern tools and resources can actually enhance that, right? So this access, and that's part of what this podcast is doing. So amidst these apprehensions regarding the emerging paradigms, it becomes so imperative for us to adopt this positive mindset, right? Because for me, being able to, you know, have this not being confound and getting this knowledge out here so that folks can realize their awesomeness is a part of my life's work. So as we navigate this rapidly evolving digital era, self-reflection improvement becomes so pivotal. The ability for a person to upskill, learning how to learn and about one's ability and accessing one's new abilities, it's like the new you know, gold or the new oil kind of thing, right? We can mine yourself for these things. And educators who have faith in their capabilities, they're going to invariably inspire, you know, students. The same thing with like, you know, leaders and organizations. They're going to be able to develop and foster and gender similar confidence in folks that follow them and that are working with them and for them and around them. And that's going to foster a more enriching, you know, workspace and more enriching learning environments, depending upon where you are, whether it's like, you know, K through 16, you know, it's corporate, private. It's all about being able to understand our capacities. And there's some bottom line here, right? In terms of enhancing what enhances productivity or enhances capability or enhances being able to meet those marks. To just, for me, the most important thing is making sure that there's a larger range of individuals who are fulfilled and have purpose, because we know what that does for the world, right? But everyone's not so mushy in such a way, but that's for me. We can get to the science if for those of you who just are interested in that part. So, okay. So that's the main reason for the podcast. I want to invite everyone to the conversation because of its necessity. So some of the upcoming topics, you can kind of think of them as how chapters would flow in a book, you know, in a sense. So there is this three-part series on, you know, on the, you know, accessing ability, you know, pieces, and I get into a little bit more about the, you know, computers and AI. Talk about, there is a really wonderful episode, you know, when we're talking about indigenous pedagogies and ways of knowing. There's an episode about being on the spectrum and understanding ourselves as all being atypical. There's one on asset-based approaches to ability, or to disability rather, that word, and, you know, embracing technology. I talk about, you know, nature-enhanced abilities, the power of mindset and personalized learning with some wonderful colleagues. You know, there's another episode on task and outcomes, and, you know, one, I think that's going to be the final one. It's on helping us help ourselves in terms of taking care of ourselves. So, you know, listen, friends, the brain is an intricate control center. It varies uniquely in everyone. It's responsible for our emotions, actions, thoughts, and when we understand ability, it's crucial to start with the brain's design and working. So if a computer's potential is judged solely by its current programming, like just how it was programmed out of the box, we're going to overlook its capability for a wide range, for the larger percentage of its functions and ability to perform certain tasks. So similarly, when you look at yourself or other humans, when we evaluate a person's ability, we should consider both their innate potential and their exposure. So yes, there are some impairments that people have, whether it be trauma or genetics, but an impairment is one in one area sometimes could, you know, lead to a enhanced ability in other areas, or a refinement or a strengthening. So even with that, there's a growth narrative kind of approach that we can look at. So think about a spectrum, you all, where individuals, regardless of their perceived abilities or what have you, and have unique strengths. So the focus should shift from pinpointing deficits, or I'm inviting that type of and championing that type of thinking, shifting from pinpointing deficits to understanding abilities in the environment and context, right? And if we were to actually plot ability against an environment, like on a graph, right? The resulting plot will reveal a person's aptitude within a specific setting. So this changes things, right? It's no longer, hey, this person's great or not. It's like, what are they being called to do and where? You know, what's the context and how do they feel and what's going on? So in essence, what I'm saying, friends, is let's redefine how we perceive our own abilities and those that work around us and are work for us or with us or what have you, or those that we teach or those that we love. And remember, it's not about labeling or limiting. It's about new lenses, right? These new lenses that I'm hoping that we can all have. So, and it's about understanding, adapting, and most importantly, appreciating ourselves and others. And the more you appreciate yourself, the more you have a capacity to appreciate others. So my vision is clear. Everyone has different abilities. Every brain is unique, adaptable, as I mentioned before, and environment, you know, has a role in that, but our capabilities are often beyond what many of our environments have allowed to be shown. And in the episodes ahead, we'll journey into the nuances of understanding and celebrating these abilities, or just, you know, talking and dialoguing about topics that can help you all think about it. So thank you for joining me on my maiden voyage here into this, accessing ability, you know, and capabilities for folks. I promise an enlightening journey ahead. So, you know, if you are listening to this, whatever podcast, you know, platform, please subscribe and share, and let's challenge our understanding and invite newer understanding together. Until next time, we all have like some amazing abilities waiting to be accessed. So let's celebrate them. You have tuned into this episode, the Universal Love Movement podcast show, Accessing Ability Special Series. That's your host, Dr. Carl S. Moore, sending love, peace, and light to you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day, night, evening. All right. See y'all soon.